Welcome to the Planner Pals podcast, hosted by two true Planner Pals. I am Jess, or Jashi Curran.
And I'm Mark from Mark Your Pages. And on this new podcast, we're going to be talking about topics around planning, stationery, personal organization, and productivity. And today's topic is going to be why we plan. And Jess, honestly, I couldn't think of anyone I would more want to be doing this podcast with than you, my actual true planner pal. So thanks so much for doing this along with us. And I'm excited to get into today's topic.
Nah, me too. It's nice to have a friend in this, eh?
It totally is. So we've talked so much over the years too, but I don't know actually that we've ever talked about like our origins around planning. So I thought a really great topic for today as we thought about this would definitely be why do we plan, which I think is a topic that a lot of people don't always think about. It's like, oh, I saw this online, I'm just going to start doing it. But I think the why is really the most important part of it. So I thought we could start off today's episode and just talk a little bit about our beginning time, what kind of got us into planning, even before what we're doing now. Like, what's your earliest memory of kind of planning or being interested in it?
I think the earliest memory of planning actually wasn't even really planning. It was like fake planning. And you know, when you're in high school or even middle school and they give you those school diaries that you're supposed to use and they like sign it off at the end of the week to be like, yes, you're doing the thing, but then nobody got them signed off. That is the earliest memory. But honestly, I wasn't really using it to do any planning. I was more using it for memory keeping, but I didn't really know at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just like sticking in a bunch of pictures, writing a bunch of notes, and you kind of look back on it and be like, this is like an archive of all the things that I was into, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. But do you still have those?
I wish I still had those. Because I'm not nostalgic about things most of the time. So I'm really big on decluttering, not big on nostalgia and sentimentality. So those are like long gone. So gone.
Yeah, my earliest memories of it are not so much that I was a planner either. I actually didn't do a lot of planning early on, and I should have. Like now as an adult, realizing that I likely was suffering from like ADHD as a kid, it was just one of those things where like no one was offering me any of these type of tools to use. And you know, you could buy a planner if you wanted to, but I was never the person to really use it. But I loved stationery early on. I think even when I was like really young, I used to like fantasize about working in an office one day so I could just have stationery, but never really thought about the planning part of it. But I always saw people around me planning. There was a handful of kids who always like excelled. I should have gotten the hint back then. Like they did really well at school. It's because they were writing down their notes and what had to get done and like how it had to get in there. I honestly don't think I did a whole lot of that until I started working, to be honest with you. My whole like earliest like actual starting to plan was because I kind of needed to, not because I necessarily wanted to.
I think that mine was more so in high school is when I really started to actually plan, because the projects that you were getting were a little bit more complicated than just, I don't know, draw a picture and write some words or whatever. I distinctly remember I was just like very keyed onto the idea of word counts. So I'd write up my little plan of what I needed to do for my assignments, and I'd have these columns of numbers. So it's like 100, 200, 300. And I could like check them off as I went through being like, oh, I'm making progress. Let's just ignore the fact that the words were probably all rubbish, but I was hitting the word count and that counts.
I mean, when do you feel like for yourself that like you started really to take planning seriously? Was there any kind of moment in time for you or like a catalyst that was like, okay, yeah, this is it. I have to do this.
Yeah. I think that the real kind of like start of planning for me, where it was a lot more serious, was probably university. Just a lot of things to handle. And so again, those little project plans came out. They were just a little bit upgraded, a little bit more than just a word count. So it's like, hey, let's write some bullet points and actually try and hit these. And also just trying to keep on top of like assignments and when they're due and all of that. So mainly I wasn't doing it in like a physical planner. It was like Google Calendar and just kind of like really pushing Google Calendar to the limit. So it's like, okay, we'll schedule them in terms of dates, but then we'll really like max out the to-do list on the side and stuff. It worked for a while.
I mean, I never did really well. I was trying to think when I was in school, I took such a different route to get to kind of where I am now. Cause I was in radio when I first started, like after high school, I went straight to like a trade school and did radio broadcasting. And then later on, after I realized that there's no money in radio broadcasting, I was like, my wife was a big pusher for like, you need to go back to school. You need to go do these things. And that I think was when I started to, similar to you, you were like, well, I have to pay attention to getting these things done. Or especially when I was in design school and you're taking, you know, like a typography class and a graphic design class and something else. And then suddenly you're trying to balance that workload and you're trying to kind of figure out, I wish I knew about it then, almost like a Gantt chart in a way to be like, okay, let's break down this project. Let's understand understand like what I do now at work, right? Is like break down a project into pieces, make sure that too many things are not necessarily overlapping, and then put it down. Like, I wish I would have known that then. And I feel like maybe it would have been better. But mostly it was just like organized by due date.
Yeah, I know, right? Is you kind of look back on it and you're like, if I just had the skill set that I have now back then, I think it's probably for like anything. You're like, life would have been so much easier. And you think about like the advice that people gave you when you were younger, like, oh, you're going to need these skills when you're older, or you should practice this now. And you're like, yeah, well, looking back on it, I know that now at the time.
I'll pass this on to my friends and my kids. That's kind of how I try to look at it, where I'm trying, for my girls especially. That's how I feel like it is with my daughters. Like my oldest daughter, for instance, needs that. Like she needs exactly what I talked about, almost like a due date count. Down to be like, here's how I should prioritize what's going on. My other daughter, I don't have to worry about her at all. She just gets it all done. It's great. But I'm trying to instill some of that in them, but they want nothing to do with it. I'm like, here's some really great tools that I've used over time that have helped me. Here, these will help you just to plan out what's going on. You don't have to do what I'm doing, but just write it down, I think, so often is helpful versus for them, everything is on their computer. I don't know if there's a sort by due date or not. It's just kind of like click through the classes, but I try to pass that on to people. I find that the only people who are really interested are probably like-minded people like us, other planner pals that are like, how do I do a better job at this? And we can share some of those ideas.
Yeah, no, I remember like when I say when I was a teacher, as if it was a millennia ago, back in my day. So when I was a teacher, because that's what I did before what I do now, I would always try and make sure that I like scaffolded out an assignment for my kids to be like, okay, this is the due date. Yes, that's great. But what are the kind of like little milestones we can hit before that? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, by this point, you should have your outline. By this point, you should have written maybe like two of your five paragraphs. By this point, you probably want to have your introduction done so that then for the last 3 days, you can actually check your damn work.
I needed a teacher like you in my life. No one ever did that for me.
I don't know. Well, nobody did that for me either. And I'm like, if you don't demonstrate the skills to people, then how are they supposed to learn them? I mean, yeah, sure, people could do it themselves. Hello. But it's just make things easier for people.
So let's go ahead and kind of turn into like, what's our main focus for planning now? Because for me, as I mentioned earlier, I really think it was starting in kind of the workforce was something that was really important for me. And early on, when I was trying to figure out what that planner method was, because I think while I've always been interested in like stationery and cool stuff like that, for a really long time, I was on the search, as many of us are, right, for that perfect planner. And I was trying to find ways to like organize myself. And when I was thinking back, and we knew we were going to talk on this topic today, I did start to think back, like, what was I trying to achieve at that point in time? And I think for me personally, it was task management and note-taking. So when I was first starting everything out, I tried to do everything digitally. So I was using Evernote at first as like my go-to. And so it started off where you're just typing things in, and then they like upgraded it to be able to like write with like your Apple Pencil on your iPad. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I felt like that helped me out, because for me, I was starting to get a little bit nervous in my job, because I was starting to like, you know, as I was moving up and you're getting different types of emails and like tasks and stuff, I was missing those. Like, it's so easy to miss stuff in your inbox, I feel like. So for me, even now, what I do on my bullet journals, like if I get something I need to respond to, even though it's on my email, I still write it down as a task to get done, because that way I can look at it and know that it has to be there. And notes are the same way for me. Like, I can jot down a note while you're talking, but I cannot type while someone's talking. Like, it's impossible for me. I think there's too much stuff going on in my brain, to be honest with you. But I feel like those are kind of the top like two things that I was really trying to pursue and that I still continue to work on now. How about yourself? What was like your big like main focus for planning?
Yeah, I think that like that kind of turning point in terms of like how my planning really changed to set me on the path where I'm kind of like at today with it was very much like the end of the last year of teaching. And it's kind of funny that it was the end of the year as well, because that's usually the most chill time. But I, by that point, I was just like, you know what? This is ridiculous. Like, there's so much to do. Your little task list on Google, like the Google Calendar to-do list, is insufficient. This is not the business. We need something much better than this, something more robust. So that's where I kind of started to really explore like, okay, well, what are the potentials here? Like, what could I use that would actually be helpful? Because like you, I was very much on the hunt for a digital tool, because I've been on a computer since I was in like year 4, 5 actively, because in year 5 we actually like got laptops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always very much onto the like make things simpler, make things easier, like learn all of the keyboard shortcuts. I'm not going to touch that trackpad. Like everything has to be like seamless. So I was very much looking for a digital tool as well, because like if you've been using Google Calendar, might as well stick in a Google Space or mm-hmm. or at least a digital space. But yeah, I found that that wasn't going to work. I couldn't find the flexibility that I needed, which is why I turned to paper planning. And in particular, bullet journaling.
Yeah, it's one of those things to think back to all the apps that I used to have, because I used to go through them pretty often. And I, as things got like bigger and bigger, I think I used like Todoist was one that I used for a really long time. Or honestly, anything that looked cool or had some cool like functionality, right? It'd be like, oh, this does this little animation, and the little dopamine hit would be like, yeah, that's what I needed. I feel good about that now. But they didn't last. But then when I did switch between them, I think that was also a really big thing. It was like you almost had to start over every single time, especially for some of the apps too that were like free up front. And then some of them moved to like a paid service. And I was like, I am not paying for an app because there's so many other free ones out there. I'd had to work for my style, but I'm also relatively cheap when it came to that kind of stuff. Like 99 cents for a paid task app. No.
No, absolutely not.
$125 for a fountain pen? Absolutely. That lasts forever.
Absolutely. It's a weird thing. Like, I compare the price of everything to plates of sushi. I don't know why, but that's like my go-to like standard unit of measurement for money. So it's like, oh, I could get 3 plates of sushi for that. I don't know.
I actually don't even pay attention. I just order whatever I want and just go from there.
Well, see, that's the thing. At sushi, I do just order anything I want, but then anything else is just like, how much sushi could I get for that?
We need a little graphic of that. Like, that'll be 3 sushi rolls for the cost of that one notebook.
That'll be 3 sushis, please. Thank you.
Yeah. So now that we've talked about kind of like what we were interested in early on, kind of where we are now a little bit, curious, like, have you ever like sat down and really like thought about taking a trip down memory lane a little bit, where you're like, wow, I really used to do that, and it looks a lot different now. Like, what did planning look for you when you first started? I guess let's talk specifically around bullet journaling. Or was bullet journaling like the first kind of planner system thing that you really used, or did you have anything that you used before that?
Like I kind of mentioned, it was more memory keeping before. Like anytime I had a planner, like a paper-based planner in particular, mm-hmm. it kind of turned into more of like a scrapbook kind of thing, which is fine. We like it when things look pretty, but mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily super functional in terms of keeping me organized. So I think that, yeah, my first real kind of productivity-based or like organizational-based paper planner was bullet journaling. Okay. And that just worked so well that it stuck.
That's awesome. Yeah, mine, I don't remember the name of it, but it was one of those kind of pre-made ones. It was some type of action. I think it was called the Action Planner or something like that. I don't remember exactly. It was a while back, but I remember really trying hard to make it work because it was the first thing I was writing stuff in, but then really quickly realized, as I do with most kind of pre-made planners, is that it wasn't exactly the style that I wanted. So I felt like I was already like editing it up and taking stuff out and replacing it. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about any of this kind of stuff. Okay, so for bullet journaling for you is where you started. So when you started bullet journaling versus now, what do you think are like the top 3 like big changes that you've made, or it looks totally different than how you used to do it?
Okay, well, I think that one of the biggest changes is like, it's not even really that big of a change, but I used to flip my notebook to do my habit tracker. And nowadays the idea of that is the most unappealing thing I can think of. Yeah, like just rotate the notebook. So it's like, rather than reading it from like, you know, regular way that you read a book, you'd read it from a side angle. Yeah, you turn it so that then the page was like, rather than vertical, it was horizontal.
Okay, we get more space that way.
Yeah, you did. And that's why I was like, oh, you know, you get your 31 days and you can read each habit across and stuff. Like at the time it made sense. Nowadays I'm like, why? It's not necessary. Just draw an icon for the habit. You'll be fine. Like, you don't need words.
when you said flip it over, I've heard some people talk about running their notebooks backwards. So they start in the back and go forward. So they know like how many pages they have. I guess that must be if they have page numbers. We know that our planners don't have page numbers in them. But people doing that. So that's what I thought. I was like, oh, wait, you're working backwards for your habit trackers, but then working front to back for that. So good to know it's just sideways.
Yeah, just sideways. I do like the idea of working backwards. It's like a countdown of pages. You have 10 pages remaining.
That's what someone was telling me about that. And I was thinking, well, first of all, I don't even number my pages that far in advance. And for all the other planner pals out there, we're using Arch and Olive notebooks, which painstakingly do not have page numbers in them. I try so hard every single time I chat with anyone on that team. I'm like, can we please get page numbers? Because I do the same thing. I guess by the time I get to the end of the notebook, though, I filled out, like I probably do maybe like 50 pages at a time. So it's not like I have to do it very often, but enough. But by the time I get there, I'm like, whoa, I only have 25 pages left. Like I do a little mental math in my head. But I do like the idea, though, sometimes of it being like a countdown backwards of like how many pages you do have left versus counting them. But I don't know how important that really is in the long run.
Well, I guess another difference that I have is that, like, because obviously when I started bullet journaling, you kind of want to start the way it was intended to be done, quote, quote. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, that's definitely a podcast episode within itself.
Yeah, side note that. But yeah, I don't use an index anymore. Really? I used to be very big on the idea of like, oh, I need to be able to find things, like navigation is important. But nowadays I'm like, it's all chronological. Who gives a damn? I'm sure you can find January. You will be okay.
I took those things out. Like, I don't put the months in there anymore, but I do put most of my collection pages, though, in my index, though, because I do find that I come back to those. And I'm using mine for work, so it'll be like some type of a project I'm working on, or maybe like a vendor I'm working with, and I'll, you know, go through weeks, you know, past when we had that initial conversation. But those pop in there. But yeah, I stopped putting months inside of there, or even my weeklies now too, because nothing's really happening in those weeklies. And if there is something, I usually just move that to a collection page anyway, so there's no need to have a weekly. So I'm with you on that. But you don't use indexes at all for even like collection pages?
So the only planners I use indexes in, and this is probably related to the third big change, is that I used to do everything all in one. I used to have everything in all in one notebook because I really liked the idea of like you take one notebook with you, it's got like your life. I soon found that that doesn't work with my brain hole, so I needed to start separating things out. But because of that, it means that my everyday carry or like my everyday journal, it just has that chronological ordering of months, and I don't need to reference collections because the collections I'm putting in there are really super temporary ones. Whereas anything that's like a long-term thing that I'm going to want to reference for a lot longer goes into a completely separate notebook. That one has an index because the ordering is really arbitrary. It's just like, hey, thought of an idea that I want to put in here, turns to the next available page, put it down. But yeah, my regular bullet journal, I don't have an index in.
How many notebooks are you working with currently then, if you're working that way?
Let's not talk about why you gotta out me like this? Okay, let's see. Everyday, yearly collections, long-term collections, notes for PD. I've got like 4 R&D notebooks on the go, but I'm going to count them as one.
Okay.
And then my reading journal, my 5-year journal, and my brainstorming book. Those would probably be the main ones. So like 8.
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think about when I was going through that, I was like, well, I guess I do have a lot of different ones for different ideas. But my problem is that I'm not very consistent about it, because even when we started talking about doing this podcast, I was jotting down notes in a different notebook. And then when I was like, okay, we're getting serious with this, like then I started a new one for it. But then I remembered that when I was doing the Hobbyist Hangout podcast, I had a different notebook that I had for that. So I probably should have used it. And yeah, so there's a lot of like little hints of stuff all around that I have as well, but I don't know if I could count right now, because I don't know. I just feel like, what am I doing most days? I don't know. Just like my main bullet journal for work, and then I have like a few little sprinkled around for extras.
Yeah, I think that's also the thing. It's like, sure, I have 8 in my lineup or more, but only 2 of them actually get like touched on a daily basis. So the everyday journal, funnily enough, it's in the title, so you'd hope. Please. And then the other one's the 5-year journal, which has like a couple lines per day for every day for 5 years. So ideally, I get into there every day to write things down.
Probably a similar to your third there is that when I first started, I thought everything had to go inside of one notebook. I think when you are putting so many things inside of there, you know, the pages fill up. And the next thing you know, you're like, how did I finish a notebook in 4 months? You're like, well, because every single thought, thing, collection, note, whatever went inside of there. So I think it took me a while to get used to it. I found that my limit, though, on like actual usable, like in the moment notebooks is two. And even then it gets a little bit hard for me. A big change really had been last year when I was using a bullet journal. And then I had the Al paper planner, which was kind of like a Hobonichi type deal that had everything, calendars in there, pre-printed, all that kind of stuff. And I really liked it, but I definitely use my bullet journal more. I had to be careful not to duplicate efforts. I think that's been my biggest thing problem with using more than one notebook at a time. And maybe we'll talk about this a bit more in depth in like the in the bullet journal episode we were talking about. Is I used to really follow a lot of the trends that were happening online at the time. So as I was going through Instagram, mostly Instagram, maybe a little bit of YouTube, you know, you'd see someone be like, oh, my movie of the year collection. And they would jot it all down. And I would be like, that's a great idea. And I would make that page inside of my notebook too. But I don't even mess with that stuff anymore. But I still keep, I think the only ones I kind of keep now are my Instagram and like my YouTube one, mostly because that's where I'm spending most of my time. And then for this podcast, you know, we're starting a new channel and like all these new things for this. I'll probably create a tracker for that too, just to track the progress. Cause I love doing that for social media anyway. I think that's super fun, but definitely not following as many trends for myself.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to like flip back through your notebooks and see like, oh yeah, I remember which creators these were inspired by.
Oh my gosh.
You look through my first one. It's just like, is this just Boho Berry's notebook?
Oh, I definitely have a Boho Berry, like one of those, like, it was an arrow, but it was like the Hobo Chic, or I don't know the aesthetic that it was called, but definitely have a few of those in my first one too. And I have whole pages of, I don't know if we were talking about this the other day, but I was talking to someone about this the other day. I used to keep a collection page of all the accounts I used to tag in my Instagram post because you wanted them to see your work. And so I have a whole list of people in my old one of all these, and then I've crossed some of them out because some of them were like, can you please stop tagging me in your crappy bullet journal photos? Like, I have,
this is not my aesthetic.
Yeah. I don't want this anywhere near anything on my page, tagged or not. And so a few of those were crossed out. But that used to be such a hot thing, though. I feel like you would put out your post and you'd be like, okay, I'm tagging all these people. Maybe they'll share my post and their stories. It was like the biggest thing ever to have someone reshare your stuff. And then now I feel like it's a totally different story when we get into that. Like, someone reshared my post without asking me about it. Oh, hell no. I don't like that.
No, right? It's an interesting change, though, because I had the same thing. I look back through some of my journals and I've got like a couple of those, like, you know, shareable tag accounts or like whatever. And then I also have in my long-term collections journal, because it is my longest running journal, I keep a list of collection ideas in there of things that I want to set up at some point. And one of the ones that I have in there is like Instagram hashtags and Instagram like shareable accounts. And I'm like, I'm never going to make those. I don't do that anymore. So
yeah, hashtags is another one too that I have so many versions. I used to actually go in and I would write down the hashtag, and then I would write down how many posts were like shared with that one. I forget the metric they used to show you, but if it was like, you know, over a million or over 500,000, I would be like, oh my gosh, like I have to use this. Now realizing that's probably the least smart way to get noticed is to post anything that is like shared that many times. Like, you just don't have as many eyes on it as you do. And I don't know, I still put hashtags in my posts and stuff like that.
I do not think that they are as successful as they used to be. Like, previously you could kind of hashtag stuff and it would be kind of assured that you'd get a lot of eyeballs. Nowadays, the systems that they have are better, and it's like, yeah, nah, maybe three, that's okay.
Yeah, I use it a lot when I do my Sunday shares on my Instagram. I save throughout the week if I see stuff that I like. But so often, especially with the algorithm, it's showing me the same people because I like and save their posts. They're like, you want more of them? I'm like, I actually want a variety of people to do this. So sometimes if I only have like 10 or so for my share, I'll go into a hashtag and find some things that way, which is good. And it's also good for me too to like refresh the people I'm following too and like get some new blood into my stream and my feed, because you're always inspired by different people, I feel like. But when it's the same people all the time, and don't get me wrong, some of them are amazing and I absolutely love seeing their stuff. Yeah, specifically yours. Really fishing for a compliment over there. But you just see those, or you don't see them often, right? Like With Love Miss J, I think is her account. Like it's artwork. It is beautiful.
So beautiful.
But she doesn't post as often because she's creating masterpieces of art for her monthlies. But like, that's one that I love to see. And usually it does pop up in my feed, but it's one of those things still, like I can only share so many of hers because then it's like, that's all Mark is sharing is this one person.
Are you just a fan account now? You're just a fan account.
Exactly. So now it's just a, you know, with love fan account. But it's definitely one of those things where every now and again, I do dip through those because I'm like, I wonder what else is happening out there right now around this. Like, are people still using these hashtags or not?
I think it's quite interesting to consider, like, obviously life changes, you know, and life can change really quickly. So looking back through my planners and getting to see like what was kind of a priority for me at the time. So it's like, oh yeah, what habits was I actually tracking? You know, do I still track those things or did I decide I really don't care about how much water I intake in a day, even if I should care. But even with this like social media kind of stuff, my relationship with social media has changed so much since I started bullet journaling, because it was only about a year into my bullet journaling, like, you know, which is my main planning, that I actually started doing Instagram with it. And it's like, well, how did that kind of change the way that I use my journal? It's like, I do sometimes wonder, like, did I get more aesthetic because I share my planner? Like, am I as neat as I am now because I was sharing online?
I'm still messy as hell. I don't care. It's just me.
It's a good strategy. It's an aesthetic vibe in itself.
That's my thing. I'm very anti. I want to be aesthetically pleasing, but at the same time, I can't stick to one theme or look. Therefore, it's never going to happen for me.
Yeah, it's okay. We can just do like shabby chic without the chic.
Yeah, exactly. Just shabby. I know how to control things in photo editing a lot better now than I used to, so I can make anything look great.
Yeah, I know, right? You look back on some of your old posts. This isn't you specifically. Like, I'm very much calling myself out here. You're like, oh, girl, that paper's translucent. What are you doing? You can see everything to the other side. Awful. So, yeah, that's a change. My notebook upgrade.
So let's talk about the future a little bit. We don't have to go by the years exactly, but I'm curious on your thoughts, and I'll share mine after you do, on like, what do you think your planning looks like for yourself in the future? You can put the timelines around it if you want to.
I foresee my planning getting simpler. Like, I think I'm coming up to a point where I don't care to be as decorative as I used to be. Like, I enjoy doodling. I enjoy, like, you know, drawing things out and using tape and stuff like that. I think I'm going to start probably throughout this year transitioning to a style that is a lot more kind of pared down in terms of how much either decorative work I'm doing or the difficulty of the decorative work. It's not so much that I don't have the time to do it, because like, it's my job. So it's like, that's the work time is what I use for doing that.
Yeah.
But I think I just don't have the bandwidth to, I'm going to say care. It's not what I mean. All right. Think of a softer word. Soft word. It's not that I don't care. Something softer. But I think that that's one of the main things. When it comes to the actual like planning aspect of things, I can't plan further than like 6 months in advance. I think that it's kind of that idea of like, you know, that you have really clear focus on what's happening in the here and now, because it's like you're going through it in the here and now. You try and look back. And you can see like 6 months ago, you kind of remember what you were doing. Any further than that, you have like snippets, but it's still kind of fuzzy. Similar idea in the future. I can see with pretty good clarity what's happening like next week, maybe for the next month, 3 months. You start to get beyond 6 months. And I'm just like, ugh, that's blurry as heck. No, thank you.
I did something very different with my journal this year, which was I kind of combined a calendar and the future log together, because I was getting so used to using calendar views and some of the other planners that I was using. And I really like that, because you can get that future look for any like recurring meetings, right? Or things like that I have in there. But I agree with you, like planning for tasks even that far in advance, I don't have anything in there yet to even take a look at that. Like, we just actually did our goals and objectives at work. I just put them in yesterday. So I know what it is that I'm working on. I think what I might do for myself is put like some check marks in there just to be like, hey, it is now the end of March. Make sure you update, you know, what you've done to move forward with these. So I think a little bit of that type of future planning I can do, but I can't think of like tasks that I could really do as well, probably much further than maybe even for me, like 3 months or so, other than like things, you know, you have going on. It's like, oh, we bought tickets for a concert in August. I can jot those in there. But beyond that, who knows what's happening with work or whatever. I definitely understand what you're saying about keeping it a little bit simpler. While I think I want to be simpler with mine, I still just want to find like a really easy way to still incorporate some stuff. Like I really love using stamps. I think that's been a really big love of mine over the past like 2 years. Not just making my own, like that's a fun little craft and thing to do, but even all the ones, I have a huge freaking collection of stamps. And I always love the way that it looks when I do it, but I have a really hard time keeping like a theme, so to say. So I'll be like, okay, I need to have these important things, because I feel like I plan a lot for functionality. Like my pages have purpose. I need to make sure that's there first, and then I kind of add on top of that. So if I'm thinking about, you know, what my page looks like at the start of the week and like what I need from it, and then suddenly I'm like, okay, you have 5 columns for the 5 days during the week, and that's what's most important. Then I'm like, well, crap, do I have a stamp that's going to fit inside of these squares now? You know, like in the space that I basically created just for the functionality part. So sometimes I almost feel like, how do I start with the creative first, but then somehow feed in some of that functionality, you know? So if I have a stamp I really like, I can kind of build around that versus being like, here's my outline or scaffolding, and then fill in anything extra with it as well. At this point in my life, I feel like I know exactly what I need each week from work. It's like room for tasks, plenty of room for notes, and then I have a space for my capacity planning for my team that I'm keeping inside this one bullet journal now, which is, well, not what I was doing last year when I had those two different notebooks for it. And I also really want to find fun ways to also bring like what I do at work inside of there. I don't want to duplicate work for the sake of duplicating it. Like if I have a digital tool, and we have plenty of those, and I love them for work, I don't want to then also like build out something in my journal.
Yeah, I very much reckon that regardless of what I do decorative wise, I'm still going to be experimenting in my journal, because I love experimenting. Mm-hmm. I like playing around with new layouts, even just taking old layouts and like changing the kind of form of them so that then they kind of sit on the page in a different way, just to see like, is this going to click better with my brain? Like, am I going to be more likely or less likely to actually get in and fill things in because of the structure that I've used for the layout? At the moment, I'm actually trialing a kind of new planning system for myself. Ooh. So rather than doing months, I've just decided that months don't work. I don't like the fact that they randomly stop in the middle of a week. I say randomly, like we know that January is 31 days, but I'm like, no, you can't finish in the middle of the week. You've cut off my flow. Where are we going? So I'm actually doing what I'm calling like cyclic planning. So they're like 4-week blocks. So we have 3 4-week blocks, and then we have like a reset week, and that's the first quarter of the year. And then we do another quarter and another quarter. So that's something I'm trialing out. I'm going to see how it goes. It's going well so far, so I'm hoping that I get to stick with it. But you know, experimentation is fun. I'm going to keep doing that.
I started doing something in my calendar where I just use 2-week blocks and been using those for like my main big tasks I need to accomplish, which is good because it breaks things down into like easily measurable pieces. Like what you're saying, like, well, if the month ends in the middle of the week, like that doesn't stop me from needing to get that task done for that week. So that'll be really cool. You'll have to share that with us. I'm sure you will share that with us when you figure it out, because I think a lot of people will be interested in like learning a lot more about that.
Yeah, because the nice thing about the cyclic planning is that if you think about doing a mid-month check-in, that's usually on like, say, the 15th-ish. But the 15th doesn't fall on the same day of the week each week. Whereas if I do it in two-week blocks to make my 4-week block, then it's like a natural, like every Sunday, every 2 weeks on Sunday, that's my reflection point, my check-in point. It I like the, I'm going to say simplicity of it, because technically it's not simple, but if you look at like a 4-week block as a calendar, it looks simple. It's a box, like, not a box with knobbly bits or whatever, because you started and ended in the middle of a week.
I think that's what I like most about bullet journaling, is that you really can make it whatever you want. I know some people take a dump in a, not in a nice of word, on bullet journaling, right? Because it's like, well, there's planners out there that do that for you. You can get something that's already a weekly or a daily or whatever else that is. But I don't feel like those have the flexibility of what we've been talking about in today, which is exactly, again, why I feel like we're very strong planner pals here, is that we're like, we have things we want to do, but nothing out there kind of incorporates at all. So I'm going to just make my own, which to me, aside from the bullet journal method, which I think is very important to what we're doing, I love the idea of using a journal, something blank, and then creating whatever you need from it. I think that's also a really important piece of like why we plan and why we plan the way we do, is that we have specific problems that we're trying to solve, and we're able to solve them, whether it's part digitally and part analog, but within our notebook.
I like the point you touched on there, that like, it's almost like a problem solving tool. It's like, this is the thing that I have. These are the elements that need to go in it, or these are like kind of the working pieces of it. Now, how can I capture that in my notebook in a way that's going to help me tackle that thing?
Let's go ahead and use bullet journaling for the topic of our next podcast. I think that would probably be a really good topic for us, because other people who are listening, I'm sure, are bullet journaling, maybe interested in bullet journaling or some type of form of it. So maybe what we can do is on our next episode, talk about why did we choose bullet journaling?
I have awesome. A lot to say.
We have a lot to say, a lot to share. I mean, both of us have been in the bullet journaling community for some time now. We've seen a lot of things. We've heard a lot of things. We've complained.
That sounds so ominous. We've seen some things.
Oh, we've seen some things. I there's a number of collection pages that I have seen in this community around vampires and blood and trackers that will forever be stuck in my mind for the rest of my life. Maybe we could also get some listener feedback too, if we wanted to, on this.
Yeah, for sure. If people want to hear something in particular about bullet journaling, or just anything in particular they'd like on the podcast, we would love to hear about it. So you can send those through to platterpalspodcast@gmail.com, and we will eagerly await your email.
Really excited, because we've got a lot of cool topics that we can talk about, especially in this space. And a really big part of this is going to be about the community as well. A cornerstone that Jess and I want to make sure is that you, as our planner pals, are contributing to the topics, to the conversation. We're going to be sharing a lot about where you can do that. I think the most important part is, if you have questions about anything we talked about in today's episode, or again, if there's things that you would like to talk about in the future, in this case, specifically around bullet journaling, we'd love to get some of those in there and can't wait to hear from you. So until next time, my planner pal, Jess, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.